if there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We need to talk about this story that is happening between Dave Riley and Rebecca, blonde of the belly of the beast. That was her name, I think, back then. Rebecca has left the Backlash. That's a show I went on. Rebecca had invited me, and we spoke about the love lube. You know, this concept that females, they have obstacles for getting to their eggs, and love is just one of those obstacles. That's the love lube. But we need to talk about the dirty play that is being pulled here. Dave Riley is trying to, and in fact succeeding, it would seem, at copyright striking Rebecca, because he's pissed that she's gone from the show, apparently. And he is now copyright striking her channel, making her lose her channel. And so she has to restart a YouTube channel. All of this because she was hosting episodes of the show The Backlash, which she was a co-host of. And if I remember the history, she was something like a founder of this. It started on her channel. It's like, jealousy is hitting Dave Riley. I think that Dave Riley is pulling a very dirty move. When you have an intellectual contribution to a show, it's fair to have a copy of it on your channel. And especially if you had those copies while you were hosting the show, this cannot be changed when you leave the show. So completely dirty move to be depriving Rebecca of her channel. But a greater lesson to learn from all this. A greater lesson to learn from all this is there is an amount of female beauty that is unsustainable to the male mind. And I don't care how much Dave Riley spends his nights clutching his pearls and rereading his Bible and being married. This, ladies and gentlemen, this right here, this level of fucking hotness is absolutely impossible to sustain within 1 kilometer of your dick without an absolute crash out at some point. And it will either be just intense heterosexual sex all of a sudden, just putting her on the table and let's go. Or you're going to turn into a control freak, because this is what women don't understand. There's a level of beauty that turns men into fucking psychopaths. Okay? And this right here, Rebecca, I mean, I'm shaking just putting her on screen. She is fucking hot. I would come inside that woman 50,000 times, no love lube. She is a fucking wonder of nature, and she shows up in these sexy Japanese kimono style dressings. I mean, Aerosmith had a song about this. You're packing up your stuff and talking like it's stuff and trying to tell me that it's time to go. Yeah. But I know you ain't wearing nothing underneath that overcoat, and it's all a show. Yeah! That kind of loving makes me want to pull down the shade. That kind of loving, yeah, now I'm never, never, never gonna be the same. I go crazy, crazy, baby. I go crazy. You turn it on, then you're gone. Yeah, you drive me. And goes on describing the craziness. This is what's happening around a woman like this. And you can't be just married with a woman and have a co-host of that level of beauty and intelligence, because this is what's crazy about Rebecca. She's right. Like, how do you keep this level of beauty? This level of beauty requires starvation and super techniques and all. It's like you have to eat carrots and stuff. And then she comes and she drops truth for 1 hour, full black-pilled ethno-nationalist. Holy shit. So this is unsustainable. Especially if you're like Dave Riley, trying to prop up the movement. Let's save America. I mean, there's a point at which the levels of testosterone, the cognitive dissonance, it just cracks. Everything fails, and you become like the guy with big lips of Aerosmith. You become crazy. This is what has been happening, and we'll review the history, because this all stems from ultimately the tension between two visions of America. This is what's fascinating about this story. So what we learned today, before we get back to the review of the whole history, Rebecca says, unfortunately, in an attempt to get my YouTube channel removed, what is left of the backlash has begun issuing illegal copyright claims on my original work. I will be deleting all of these videos to try to retain my YouTube channel, but it may be too late. Please follow my new YouTube channel, pinned tweet. So there seems to be a new YouTube channel that she has started. I have subscribed to it, Rebecca Hargraves. But it's absolutely unfair and stupid for Dave Riley to do this. Why do you want to hurt an independent creator who took her own direction? You know, there's no reason but vengeance. And this is where Aerosmith comes in, because it's like, yeah, this level of beauty, when it runs from you, it doesn't matter that they didn't have sex. It doesn't matter that Dave Riley is married and that she is married, or she has babies with another guy. That level of beauty, if when it takes a centimeter walk back, it drives your male instinct. And it's like, I need to possess her. I need to ruin her life. It needs to be hard that she's walking away from me. It doesn't matter that they didn't have sex. The male instinct triggers, and when you are at this level of beauty, it's impossible to control. So let's go back and see where this all started. Because when I went on this show, I felt that there was already a tension, you know? Rebecca seemingly was inviting me because of my very, very black-pilled view, which was the phalange. And it goes back to the phalange, ultimately, why they broke up. And it goes back to the phalange, why he's frustrated against her. You'll see that in the clip. My idea of the phalange is this. It's civilization is in a war. And the areas of Western civilization that we will lose are enormous, that have no future for white people, because white people will eventually be oppressed. And it's like, it doesn't matter if you don't feel oppressed yet. There's not a point in percentage of white people at which it suddenly becomes uncomfortable. It's all downhill. And the point of the phalange was to say, there's going to be two groups of people. There's going to be, because when you look at South Africa, for example, there's still white people there, still denying that race matters. There's still white people there, still saying, no, I'm not seeing it. Just not seeing color. So there's not a point between the 61% white to the 41, to the 31, to the 21. To the 10, to the 1%, there's not a point at which everyone lights up. there's always going to be people willing to be victimized. And the point of the phalange was to say, think of it as a front line of a war. And there's people in locations that are safe and in which there is a future for white people. There's people who are in front of the front line and they're not safe. They're not covered by shields. And at some point, this is why these social media trends of constantly showing criminality against white. Say, oh, is, and you see this on libs of TikTok these days. Oh no, another prisoner was released despite having committed 17 rapes and 4 murders. And guess what? He raped another woman. Ah! There's a point at which this kind of coverage, I am into it and I think it has a function, but there's a point at which it disables you. Because there's a point at which covering it and talking about political solutions is lying to people. There's a point at which just being offended that the guy did his 17th rape after his 4th murder, there's a point at which you are creating a delusion that this is fixable if we talk about it. And my point in the phalange was to say we're going to have to start ridiculing, even if it's not their fault, we're going to have to start blaming the victims. We're going to have to say, maybe you should move. Maybe you should move. I understand it's not your fault you got killed. I understand it's not your fault you got raped. But it's time to move. Now, this is a very important point that splits the entire world of right-wing, true right-wing commentary between the Nick Fuentes of this world and the me and Rebecca type of this world. Two very different approach. Because there is a point, and this is not a critique to Nick Fuentes, by the way, but Nick Fuentes kind of is at the middle of all this without even deserving it. But there is a point at which Nick Fuentes' projects of fixing American politics, there's a point at which that becomes problematic. There's a point at which it deceives people, and I'm not saying that this point is right now, but there is a point in the future at which Nick Fuentes' interests are completely opposite to my interest. And I know that, and I still want Nick to succeed, because never will Nick be as much of an opposite to me than the left, than the haters, all of this. So it's like, it doesn't make me and Nick enemies. But you have to realize that when Nick, this all stems ultimately from the moment Nick started inviting a more big tent conservatism message by saying, as far as I'm concerned, if you were born here, you can be on my side. And okay, there's all sorts of technicalities, and perhaps it's a little autistic for white nationalists who have said, well, do you therefore believe in birthright citizenship? But it's still important that there is a difference between a big tent movement and a movement that has completely abandoned the idea that a political solution is available, and a black pill movement. So let's review this moment, which was in November 2025, which then determined why this couple had to separate. Adam Scott says, JF, Dave claimed that Rebecca stole over $4,000 from a bank account. It could have been all of their money and donations or something. Dave is a Christ cuck anyway, fuck him. I don't know about this. I will not assume that Rebecca has committed theft. I would assume that if she has taken money from an account, it was a common account on which she had the rights, Maybe she estimated that this was due to her. When we're talking about $4,000, it's a very small amount first. I would find it extremely bizarre if Rebecca needed absolutely $4,000 so desperately that she would commit theft. So I'll put this on the side as a claim. You know, maybe Dave has a civil claim that maybe this money would have wanted it. But those things become very complicated because there's all sorts of implicit promises in a collaboration. And generally the rule on YouTube collaboration is if it's not in your pocket, it's not yours. And if the other person controls it, it's his. Hinkle Dinkle sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, I have met someone who wants 5 or more kids, but I struggle having 6 with her after I was with someone fit and more desirable. How do I fix this? Well, listen, being with an ugly woman is very hard on the male dick and on the male balls. It is very hard psychologically. You have to measure the investment that you've done with this woman, and you just have to make a call, okay? You either pinch your nose and close your eyes and make 6 babies. Having sex with her. Okay. You have to understand first that going out there on the market, understand that you're not necessarily going to get a top beauty. So it's like, don't overestimate yourself. Maybe you are with what you deserve. Now, if you are strongly convinced that you are below what you deserve, you can make that bet of leaving her and going for a woman you're more attracted to. But there are risks involved. You seem to have secured a woman who's serious about having children with you. This will always oscillate in the back of your mind, and it will make your life very painful to be with a woman that you're not attracted to. It's your call, though. You may just have to do it. You may just have to inseminate her, but it's going to be a hard burden to carry. She's going to get uglier and uglier on top of it. But it may just be what you deserve, so it's not like if you leave her, you're going to score a top beauty. Tough decision, bro, but don't fuck up. You have something of value there. Do you want to go the easy route and the safe route, or do you want to take the risk? The risk, you have to picture the risk properly. The risk is that you will forever be alone. That's the current dating possibility, that you are too difficult to satisfy, and that you're just going to find uglier than her even out there. So wait your quality and be serious about it, but don't be flippant. Don't think that it's going to be easy out there. She may just be what you deserve, and you may just need to pinch your nose. GM for the People says, I wonder whether Colonel McGregor has already approved Rebecca as a vessel for his posterity. I don't know what that means. So let's get to how it all started. It all started because Rebecca was constantly bringing onto the backlash the black-pilled side of the view. The black-pill side of ethno-nationalism that says America is not salvageable, therefore what we need is a completely different strand of tactics than what the Nick Fuentes of this world are offering. And there is a fundamental contradiction here. You either believe in the political system and you tell young men to join it, to infiltrate the Republican Party. You dream of a future in which the Republican Party will be on our side, or you don't. And if you don't, then you're basically telling people, don't go into politics. Don't go study to Harvard. Just prepare for survival in the white trailer trash of your neighborhood and just become the ultimate trailer trash fucker. Just become uncontrollable. Just you have inseminated three women in your little trailer park, and those are very different things to do. And it shows up when Nick appeals to a big tent kind of alliance with everyone, saying, if you are born, that was the comment, if you are born here, you can be on my side.
Time when our people should be circling the wagons around each other. Like, there's this all-out attack from the Republican Jewish Coalition, from Mark Levin, from, like, we're in the battle over American sovereignty. Shouldn't you people who are supposed to be pro-white, like, I'm not pro-white enough suddenly? In what?
So Nick was disappointed that following his comment of a more broader appeal, he was getting criticized by white nationalists.
Away, because of a semantic way that you interpreted that.
No.
And they use it as an opportunity to attack me, to one-up me, and score a point and say, oh, I'm going to take the piss. This little clip, yeah, I like Nick, but this was no good. Really? And so everybody that did that is dead to me.
I understand how Nick feels about this. Back then, I commented on this, but I commented in a way where I invite you guys to understand Nick is a different beast. He's never going to be just a white nationalist. He's barely one, in fact, when you think about it. So he is a different beast, but he is a different beast with whom we have so much to win from that he is effectively to be considered, if not an ally, just a part of a broad intellectual movement that includes white identity.
So I saw Devin Stack say that. I saw Asha Logo say that. Eric Orwell, Arvel, is DMing me saying, are you against birthright citizenship in DMs? Really? How are you going to be pro-white? You're not even going to support me. How are you for all white people and, you know, ecumenical pro-white politics? You're going to throw me under the bus?
I mean, that maybe.
And here you will see a massive tension build up between Rebecca and Dave Riley.
Maybe this is less of a problem of big tent conservatism and more of a problem of whether or not we believe that America is salvageable. And I personally don't.
She puts her finger right on the dichotomy here. Because if you don't believe it's salvageable, then you don't get involved in politics. You don't go study at Harvard in political science. You don't get a hope that maybe the Republicans will let us in if we're subtle enough about our infiltration. Those are very different strategies. Whereas Nick appears to do all these things.
I don't think we can use any system to save a country that is not salvageable, which is why I disagree with this position. Dave?
You're wrong. That's it. Okay.
Dave, you're going to have to get into this.
No, I don't.
You're going to have to get into it. So Dave Riley, I mean, she's right. You know, you're on a show. If there's a tension in the show, those are the exploitable moments. So you cannot just say, oh, well, I disagree and not engage. You have to develop the disagreement. That's, in fact, when you look at the backlash, when you look at this duality here, a Catholic who I wouldn't say is raised blind, but he has this aspect of Catholicism that is so prior to any other view that it ends up eclipsing race concerns. And on the other side, you have Rebecca, who is first and foremost concerned about ethnicity and ethno-nationalism. This idea is great. This could be a great show. The tension is there. There shows in which the two people agree are not very useful. This is kind of the fertile ground that could have led to a good show, but there was a little bit of too much of a tension.
I'm not going to fucking participate in this.
Why?
This is because it's bullshit fucking ankle biting, exactly what he's talking about.
I.
So Dave here appealing to We need to stop ankle biting Nick with concern trolling. We need to kind of blindly just accept he is mostly the best leader. He is the best leader, and therefore questioning him is just killing the movement.
I just don't think that we should have any person that's beyond reproach. He's just a man.
It's not a matter of it being beyond reproach. It's a matter of, are you going to try to fucking fix this goddamn country or not?
You're not.
You didn't even fucking vote yesterday.
Yeah, I did not. I did not
and
vote.
And guess what? You're fucked now. You've got Dan Gukin in as mayor.
My vote clearly.
So the question of whether votes are useful at all. When I saw this meltdown by Dave Riley, first I was finding it extremely feminine. The way he was kind of bickering with Blonde. And it's like, if it was just for the show, then that's good show. Like this moment became extremely memeable. But if it was driven by true emotions inside of him, which I now think it was, it's not good. It's amazing to me that a man can stand in front of a woman like Rebecca and he's more low-key than her, and he is disconcerted by her level of blackpilling. That is the only time you'll see this in the whole history of the world. Men are much more easily blackpilled than women.
It wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah, it would. It was 500 votes. It was 500 votes. What the fuck did Henrik and Lana do? Jack shit.
So this whole appeal to you can change the world. But I think the point of Rebecca, at least that would be my point, even if your vote changed the outcome, your vote is still ingested by a machine. Look at Trump. I mean, the Trump movement is the exact example of why you have to be blackpilled, and you have to be so much more blackpilled than you think. The Trump movement has been completely ingested by the system. It has turned from some kind of anti-elite, anti-globalism movement in 2016 to just absolute kneeling to Israeli interests. More than even an average neocon would have kneeled. Because you have the bizarre ingredient of Trump's madness mixed now with I want to please Bibi Netanyahu. Ty Rogerson says your revolution has been accounted for and countered. Exactly. They bought the Trump brand. What does Trump do? He puts his name on stuff and then he sells that stuff for higher price. Trump did this with the MAGA base. I mean, it's disgusting, but you have to face this reality or else you're always going to be a cheerleader for movements that will eventually fuck you.
What did any of the white nationalists in Coeur d'Alene do? Nothing. Nothing. They did fucking nothing. I sat on the phone for 5 hours and made phone calls on Monday. I sat out in the rain for 2 hours yesterday campaigning for these people, and we won in Post Falls where...
See, the problem with this argument is I don't care how hard you worked. I care how smart you worked. And the question that Rebecca is raising is it smart at all to tell people that we can change the world? That is extremely important. Should we tell people that we can change the world? Because I'm sure there's been forever people in South Africa thinking, oh, we're going to win this time. Oh, this won't last. But it lasted, and it lasted, and it lasted. And so at what point are you part of the oppression of white people when you deceive white people into, you cradle them into their victimhood?
I made my calls where I volunteered, and Coeur d'Alene did jack shit.
And these people who are appealing, this is very Nick Fuentes style. And Dave Riley is acting it out here. These people are constantly appealing to team spirit. but the team cannot have a spirit if we don't agree on the destination. If your destination is, I want Republican Party power or Republican Party control, your destination is not mine, because I recognize that the Republican Party is a vessel that is infinitely corruptible. And we have the proof right in front of our face with Trump. We have the demonstration that you could control the entirety of the Congress. They would find a way so that your control was illusionary. They would buy out the control that you thought you had. This is what Trump has done.
I got people like Devin Stack coming at me on Twitter, trying to tell me about my fucking state, quoting bullshit from AI that's completely wrong, saying that Phil McGrane is the outgoing mayor of Coeur d'Alene. He's the fucking Secretary of State.
And this is what I wanted to say. You cannot have a 11 out of 10 worldwide.
Greetings, JF. Although some might wish to seriously examine.
Oops, sorry. Let's reread this super chat.
Greetings, JF. Although some might wish to seriously examine the viability of Nicolas I. Mexican Fuentes, 25% non-white admixture, for white identity, I might be more focused on Hussite weaponry, history. Regardless, I send salutations.
All right. Well, thank you for your super chat. I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters the racial constitution of Nick Fuentes. If you understand, Nick Fuentes has something else. He is bigger than white nationalism, and I don't think it matters. I think he plays a role, and it's an important role. Now, what I was about to say, you cannot have an 11 out of 10 beauty like this in kimono outfit with V-shaped cleavage in full showing and keep your cool. And on top of it, you're a Catholic and you're married. Eventually, your balls start shriveling. And two things can happen. You're either going to have sex with this woman, or you're going to be extremely, you're going to look like a feminine control freak. And Dave Riley took that second route. Why is that? It's because the male brain sees an absolute beauty, and he wants to control it. He wants to put her back in her place. And so you have all this sexual tension. It builds, and you can't unleash it because, oh, I believe in God and the Bible says it's wrong and I have a wife and there's a camera on anyways. So the brain just goes fucking insane. And Dave was therefore expressing control. He wanted her to go vote like a wife. He wanted her. He was saying basically like a man tells his wife, shut up and go vote conservative, bitch. That's what's happening here. The dynamic is extremely sexual, but no one realizes it.
He's not the outgoing mayor of Coeur d'Alene. There is not a bunch of money coming in from Dorothy Moon and the Idaho GOP to back Dan Gookin, the fucking Republican.
See, he's talking down like a kind of annoying husband who's had enough of the stupid comments of his wife.
Party sued his ass last year. They sued him. The Republican Party up here has been against the Chamber of Commerce for 5 or 6 years now. This is the whole fucking point of it. And we've got these retards like Devin Stack and Arvel and apparently my co-hosts who...
Now, ouch. Now, this is a moment that hurts. So he just called her a retard to her face. Now, I think that this was setting... You can see in the eyes of Rebecca. At that moment, she knew she was going to leave this show. I mean, he just called her a retard by saying, apparently my co-host too is one of these retards that I just listed.
Well, instead of throwing in and working together as a team to make this country a better place for our kids, we're gonna
Yeah, but this is what I would call the pragmatic trap. The idea, well, shouldn't we try to make it better? Shouldn't we try to improve our local situations? There's a point at which the pragmatic trap is deceptive. And Rebecca and people like Rebecca and me and many others are considering that any sort of hope that you could sell to the people other than fleeing and rebuilding is actually leading them to their death. You cannot just swipe this away. You cannot ignore this problem and say, oh, well, we're going to try to do our best within the situation. No, there's a point at which by saying this, you're sending people to their literal death.
Fucking ankle bite Nick Fuentes because he said something that was taken out of context by a bunch of fucking people who hate Jesus Christ, who hate the church, and who hate this country.
I have never taken any other position except that I'm an ethno-nationalist that believes that America is failing. And I have been totally consistent in that, in my not voting. I mean, will I vote in local politics in future? I don't know, maybe, probably. But there's no reason to say that levying a mild criticism at something that Nick Fuentes has said is me undermining the movement.
This isn't about leveling a mild criticism
it is.
Against...
It is a very mild criticism to say, oh, look, I think that Nick spoke in a weird way. I think he's in a different mindset, and I disagree with that particular statement. I mean, you have to allow this in a movement. Precisely the reason the right has been so attractive since 2016, and it's losing a lot of this. But the reason it was originally attractive is it was the last movement in which there was actual free engagement. It was the last movement where you wouldn't hear, shut up, follow the leader, and he's correct. It doesn't matter if you disagree with him on that point, just don't say it because you're disrupting the movement. That's how the left has been working for a long time. And we don't want this to happen to the right. Because if it happens, then you get this kind of MAGA boomer, truth social type of personalities. And it's a, they're just going to cheerlead whatever Trump says. But look at us now. Now we're bombing Iran for no reason.
No, it is. We've got one kid that is going and hurling himself at the Jewish establishment like a human fucking hand grenade. He has had everything in the kitchen sink thrown at him for the last 10 years. I've lost friendships over Nick Fuentes. I have been smeared in the press over Nick Fuentes. And then all of a sudden, when Nick Fuentes breaches the outer wall and starts making a fucking difference, and people are waking up and starting to see this.
You cannot be at less than 1 meter than Rebecca, not having sex for years. This is unendurable to the human mind. Look at them. If this was 100,000 years ago, Rebecca would have a baby from Dave, and that's it, and we're done. Or at least there would have been a little quickie here and there. And there would be at least the delusion in Dave's mind that maybe she's carrying, maybe the next baby she's carrying is mine. But you cannot have a non-sexual relationship between a male and a female like this. It doesn't matter. The intellectual aspect of it will not pass.
Getting on the same page, joining a movement and making a difference, and we're going to sit back and fucking ankle bite and be like, he's for brown people.
I reject that this is ankle biting. We did the same thing to Donald Trump when we felt
That's totally different.
Let me finish. When we felt like his mission was going off course, it is incumbent.
So excellent point by Rebecca here, bringing the Trump aspect of it, a demonstration that believing the system doesn't work. Now it gets even more tense as Rebecca will tell Dave to control his anger.
Qualify and say, oh, well, I have done this, that, and there's no need for that. If you've done it, you've done it, right? So something else is going on here. That's what it suggests to me. And I don't know what that is.
Well, I think that the criticism is that he's moving towards a more centrist position to be more palatable to the masses. That is the criticism that I'm seeing levied against him. He has been going on all of these shows. So I think Dave is defensive because it seems like he's breaking through and now we're taking that opportunity to criticize him. But I mean, he did say this. He did say this, Dave.
Great, so let's fucking kill him. Let's throw the whole fucking thing out.
This is so hysteric. This is extremely bad behavior for Dave. It's like there's a difference between completely abandoning Nick and just commenting on, I disagree with this particular sentence.
Let's wreck the entire thing.
This is
and
such
throw
not,
it out because
oh
that's never going to do anything.
But I wouldn't make that argument. That may not be exactly the argument of Rebecca, but I would make that argument to Dave. Yeah, let's throw out the illusion that we're going to fix the system, and let us position ourselves in an advantageous position where at least we can see a future for our children. Very important that we tell people this, because the libs of TikTok retweeting criminals and 17th rape counts, that can go on forever. It can go on for 50 years. It's not going to change anything. It's just going to be, oh, I'm more enraged. Oh, isn't that crazy? We need better judges. But it's like when even the judges that you put in position are part of the machine that is built to hate on you, you're not going to fix this with politics.
What the fuck is wrong with you people? Where you have one person that says one thing in a longer two fucking and a half hour long show, and then you take this 10-second clip and then throw the whole fucking thing out.
This is such nonsense black and white thinking. I preface this whole thing by saying, I hope Nick Fuentes succeeds. I hope he succeeds. I hope he does what we want him to do, that he continues to be the representative of the movement and of our...
Now, she's about to get cut by Dave, and you're gonna see a backlash happening.
Our actual interest. That is what I hope. I never said that we should throw the baby out with the bathwater, or that Nick is not useful to the movement, or that he hasn't done good work. The idea...
No, so we're just gonna sit here like a bunch of Zionist Jews and criticize the one fucking guy.
I'm not finished, and you're gonna sit there and be quiet until I'm done. You need to get your anger under control here, all right?
Ouch. Oh... Oh, holy shit. Oh, bro, what would I give? What would I give to have Rebecca, this absolute planetary beauty, talk to me with her fingers like this and saying, Jeff, you're going to shut up and you're going to be quiet. You're going to be quiet. Ouch! Holy shit, and you're gonna control your anger. Well, I believe that this is the moment. This is the moment at which this show was done. And this was in November 2025. We are now 5 months later. I think I want to be on a show with Rebecca, and I'm going to speak over her just to see her scold me. Shut up, Jeff. You're going to shut up. So now Rebecca, now Dave is still on his hyper feminine vengeance spree. By the way, vengeance is a very, very feminine behavior, Dave. So now he's trying to copyright strike her channel, which legitimately hosted copies of the backlash, of the original backlash days. Eventually, these videos got into this other channel, The Backlash. Now he's destroying her YouTube channel. It's not looking good for you, Dave. Dave, if I was you, and like it's not that it matters. It's not like I'm threatening you or whatever. But if I was you, be reasonable here. Why don't you respect Rebecca taking her own path? Don't try to interfere with our channel. I would go immediately and withdraw these strikes. it's really dirty behavior between between creators to be destroying each other's channel. You would have a much better legacy from this time of your life if you just endorsed it. I mean, this is a great moment of your life. You were shown on screen with a fucking beautiful woman. I mean, it's like, this is forever recorded in history. Now you're shitting on this whole legacy because now everyone will know, wow, this guy crashed so hard. This guy got humiliated so hard that he's trying to pick at her and trying to keep her from growing. Now she has to start a new channel. I mean, Rebecca will be successful whatever she starts. And so it's like, you're just going to be a bump in the road. It would be so much bigger for you to just say, hey, I had this wonderful moment of my life where all sorts of pictures are now of me on the internet with an 11 out of 10 absolute hot woman. Just this, like, think Trump. Think Trump, Dave. Trump is all about this. He was showing himself with beautiful woman. It gives you status. But you're ruining that status if you're going full revenge on her. Why don't you just let her go, even if she scammed you or whatever, even if whatever she's done to you that makes you frustrated, just be the bigger man. Get out of it. You got all this history of engaging with her. That's worth something in and of itself. John Drake says, dude should worry about keeping his own channel relevant. Exactly. Exactly. Being beside Rebecca, just seeing Rebecca, is such a privilege. You should want to do it for free. She is a pleasure to see on the screen. And I don't see how we need a YouTube channel of a Dave who talks about how we need to be in the movement. And we need to, like people are just going to watch Nick Fuentes. If your message is let us just believe whatever Nick Fuentes says because he's the best leader, do you realize how little that makes your channel in terms of valuation? If you can't even have a little drift, Rebecca was your little drift. She was a high value little drift. And this should have been exploited to shit. Like, I want to see those clashes, but I would have wanted to see Dave a little less emotional about it. Malcolm says, JF has reached Indian levels of simping. Absolutely. Absolutely. There is a level of beauty in the female that turns all of us into Indians. Literally just reduced to masturbate on the side of the street while trying to get a peek at her. This is the level that we're talking about. So Dave back then had tried to professionally, so that was the show streamed 1 month ago, where he had tried to professionally dissociate from Rebecca. He had even framed as if it was a secondary thing. He had written a whole official statement that, this week we are losing Cameron McGregor. Oh, and also, in light of this transition, it just so happens that Rebecca has also decided to devote her time and energy toward expanding her independent content and developing new creative ventures on her YouTube channel. We fully support her in this direction and look forward to seeing what she builds next. You should have just recorded this as your professional reaction in history. Now you're looking very desperate. Because how does it arm your channel that there are old episodes of backlash on Rebecca's channel? And your claim of ownership on these episodes is absolutely dubious. I don't even think it's true. I don't know what's the deals and what are the contracts between them. But she is an original contributor to this show. And it was fair of her to put it on her channel, and you didn't seem to object while she was on your side. So now you're using this as just a point of vengeance. Just a point of vengeance. Absolutely unacceptable, as far as I'm concerned. JF about to bust when he sees that chat. What are we talking about? What's the chat? Oh, Blonde in the Belly of the Beast is... okay, she's watching the earlier part of the show and she is saying, is he singing me Aerosmith now? Oh, it's okay. Okay, so she... and she is saying that she will replay this stream on her deathbed. No, I mean, to put anything on the deathbed of Rebecca would be just uglifying it. I believe that Rebecca is one of these women that you know. You just know that when she's 1,200 years old, you'll still want to have sex with her. Like mummified. I would have sex with mummified Rebecca any day. Just saying. Just saying. I would just... I mean, I know that once mummified, you know, there's all these museum people who want to stop you. I would find a way, just like these, you know, these museum movies where you see the lasers and all. You just find your way to squeeze around the lasers, to go undetected, to steal the diamond. I would go undetected by the lasers. I would twist like this, twist around the laser lines. I would spray some permanent hair fixer. Now I see all the lines. I slowly get to the Rebecca mummy. Okay, that's a little too much. That's a little too much. Okay, I went overboard. I went overboard. People are saying, no, that's too much, JF. All right, let's talk about the news. Breaking. Iran warns any attack on its infrastructure will be met with widespread and immediate destruction in Israel. See, I don't like this kind of coverage. I don't like this kind of coverage. I don't get into it. Because it's partisan coverage. It's telling, oh yeah, Iran will take its revenge. And then the other side says, oh yeah, America will bomb Iran. And I hate the two sides of it. I hate it that the factual world has been overtaken by a polymarket mentality. The factual world is now subject to, I'm on this team and I want this to happen in the future. And we're so much better than you. And it's going to happen that way. Blonde in the Belly of the Beast is asking, no spoiler, I'm only 10 minutes in and have to stop to make dinner. So Rebecca has not yet reached the mummified sex point. She is still naive. She is still naive. She is still naive to the mummified portion of this show. Yeah, so I hate the current state of the media. I hate the current state of partisanship. And it's like, even if I try to make predictions, I tried to make predictions and people yell at me and they say how stupid I am. And it's like, it doesn't even seem that my predictions are false, but they are so on the moment that whatever is the current Twitter feed, the current trend. And yeah, by the way, I do hope that Rebecca is laughing at my comments and jokes in this show. I do believe that she will appreciate this kind of humor. At least she seems to be enjoying it. So up to now, it's okay. Up to now, I didn't go too far. We learned that the OnlyFans owner, Leonid Radvinsky, has died at age 43. So a owner of OnlyFans, there was a joke that this is kind of the Pope of Israel. And that now there will be a kind of like they choose the Pope and they burn some wood and you see some smoke. There was someone making a joke on Twitter today that the smoke will appear because a new OnlyFans CEO has been chosen in Israel. And as far as the Iran situation goes, we had mixed messaging from Trump and from Iran. Trump this morning was saying, I am pleased to report that the United States of America and the country of Iran have had over the last 2 days very good and productive conversations regarding a complete and total resolution of our hostilities. And then he says he's going to wait 5 days before ordering any strikes on energy infrastructure. So, you know, I said this morning, this is in line with what I've been predicting, which is Iran certainly doesn't have a big interest in escalating. And so the question really about whether this war continues is whether America just wants to just shamelessly continue bombing Iran. And it's like this seems very unproductive. It seems very off of Trump's way of generally dealing with this. Now, I can't exclude that Trump maybe has orders and desires to be fully just maintaining this war forever. And if so, then Trump will continue the escalation. But my point of my predictions for the last few days has been Iran certainly doesn't seem in a escalation mood. They would need a lot of provocation to keep going. And it did seem that they weren't going to bomb ships passing through the Strait of Hormuz. We'll see how it develops this week. It's possible people are reporting breaking 2 energy infrastructure sites in Isfahan and Khorramshah, Iran, have been attacked, according to the Fars News Agency. America did it. I haven't verified this news, but it's entirely possible, in line with the possibilities I was just underlining. And in this case, it's like, just how much can Iran take? They probably can take a lot. Now, the question is, how provocative do they want to be on the Strait of Hormuz? They've been maintaining a messaging publicly that basically states, no, the Strait of Hormuz is not closed. It's just that it's subject to regulations. And so they're basically suggesting, well, you know, you have to pay in yuan or whatever. You have to be in the right alliance. So it's unclear what's happening. But still today, even if those strikes would be confirmed, suppose I take them at face value, I don't know that Iran has massive interest in escalation. And this very message this morning by Trump, people were telling me, well, JF, Trump is lying. He's misleading the markets. Entirely possible. But my point to you would be, even if it's a lie, it contains information. Even if Trump is lying that he has a good deal in terms of peace ahead, that lies already tells you information, because the Iranians came just after this message and said, no, we are not talking to Trump. We don't even know what he's talking about. We don't have a deal with Trump. Now, who's telling the truth here? I don't really care. What I care is Trump, by stating this, is preparing the American mind for the objective of peace. And it wouldn't be very smart for him to create these expectations if he knew that he was going to deceive them, to disappoint them. So in my view, whether it's a lie that there's a peace deal or not, that doesn't really matter, because to me, the only factor that determines escalation in this war is Trump. I think that Iran is not on an escalation mood. So because Trump is the only determinant, if Trump is telling us that he sees peace ahead, potentially within the next 5 days, then to me, that tells me he is creating an expectation because he thinks that will happen, that some degree of either control of Iran or peace will be achieved. Maybe not in writing, maybe not even with the consent of the Iranians. But he feels that he can have boats passing soon in the Strait of Hormuz. That's the information. Sometimes something can be a lie or you can know nothing about the truth of it, and yet it tells you about the mindsets. And that, to me, is my evaluation of the mindsets of Trump, of the Iranians tonight. Are we in something that will escalate? It depends on Trump. And Trump is the only one who has the key. And the only thing he can do to force the Iranians into some degree of response is to be so shamelessly bombarding them that the Iranians cannot even afford to be peaceful. That is the situation right now. Yes, and the Iranians, as reported by Classic Reader, I did see those messages. They have said, if Trump attacks Iran's infrastructure, the response will no longer be an eye for an eye, but eye for head, hand, and foot. So basically, the Iranians have been saying, we will strike desalination plants and oil infrastructure in the region. That is a threat. I don't necessarily know that this means they will do it. Let us all be careful and let us bring back a public space of facts and predictions. Let us not be in a... I feel like we're in a kind of a basketball match and it's like, I'm on this side. I'm on the other side. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Let us bring back the pleasure of trying to guess what truly will happen, not what you want to happen.